Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick.
Well, I remember the Sunday school pictures of this particular Bible story from the book of Exodus very vividly. There's a big rock in the middle of the wilderness. There is Moses, and he has commanded the rock to bring forth water. And then it's like a elementary school drinking fountain, just a little pool of water, a little bit of trickle of water coming out of this rock. And then we're told in the story that the entire children of Israel, all these millions of people, were able to drink from the water that came from this rock. And I remember as a kid thinking that that would be a really long line to that particular drinking fountain, that rock drinking fountain. And that's how I viewed it. I did come across a different picture this afternoon that shows the rock, a very large rock. There's Moses standing there. And instead of the little trickle, it is a flowing stream. It is gushing. It is a rapids that are coming out of the rock, probably closer to the truth, because when God gives, he gives in abundance. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson on that very story, Water from the Rock, in Exodus chapter 17. Pastor Tom Baker joins us. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Tom, before we get into this week's Sunday school lesson, give us your thoughts on the life and the death of our good friend and faithful confessor, Pastor Paul McCain.
Yes, I would like to have this portion of the Sunday school lesson in honor of Paul McCain. I got to know him while he was still a pastor in a congregation because I became the publisher of books that were put out by Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. And when Paul then left and became a pastor, we turned all those books over to him. And so I got to know him really well, especially when he was assistant to President Barry. That was a really important time. And today's sermon, President Harrison wrote about that Paul McCain had himself written a number of documents anonymously. And a lot of that came from the Barry administration that Paul McCain was involved with. He was also a member of the church I belong to, St. Paul de Pere. So I heard him not only preaching there, but I also heard him doing the Sunday school lesson, which you can still hear on KFUO at 9:30 every Sunday morning. They do that. I considered Paul to be somebody I really learned a lot of information from. I was very pleased to have at the seminary Professor Robert Preuss for a number of classes. Got to know him real well. In fact, he had me teach at Fort Wayne for a summer and became very close with him. And he had such a knowledge of the Book of Concord and the Confessions. And in my thinking, Paul McCain was like another Robert Preuss. I loved listening to him when he was on Issues, Etc., as he gave insights that people are just unaware of when it came to this particular Book of Concord, the Confessions of the Lutheran Church. And he did so much at Concordia Publishing House in the position that he was in also getting out materials that are very helpful. In fact, on my program, Law and Gospel, I'm often giving out books that people should be reading that he was involved with, including one of the best books, of course, that I talk about on Wednesdays, C.F.W. Walther's Theses on Law and Gospel. And both Paul McCain and President Harrison often spoke about the distinctions between law and gospel, as President Harrison talked about in today's service. And they used for the epistle my favorite chapter in the whole Bible about law and gospel, and that's Galatians 3. So it was a wonderful worship service and great comfort to the family and great comfort to many of us who knew Paul McCain and looked up to him as a real teacher of the church. I can only imagine the conversations that he's having with Jesus right now.
So, Tom, as we look at this very famous story of God sending water from a rock, there seems to be a theme emerging. First, it's manna. They lack for bread. And then quail along with it. They lack for meat. And now water. What's this theme?
Well, it's something I've never been able to understand. Having gone through the Red Sea and seen all the Egyptians destroyed behind them who were chasing them, then they start complaining to God because they don't have these basic items. In fact, this is the second time that water became an issue. If you go back to chapter 15 of Exodus, this is before the Mount Sinai experience with the commandments. They were 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And they came to Marah, and they could not drink the water there because it was bitter. In fact, that's why it was called Marah, which is the Hebrew for bitterness. And the people grumbled against Moses, "What shall we drink?" And Moses then turned to the Lord, and the Lord had Moses either throw a log or a tree, it can be either one, into the water, and the water became sweet. And there the Lord made for them a statute and a rule that they should be tested, saying, "If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, then I am the Lord your healer." So they already had had this experience. And as you noted in the introduction, this water at Marah must have been a lot of water, because we know there were almost 1 million men that were Israelites who left Goshen in Egypt, not counting the many women and children. So then here we come, chapter 16, and they start complaining, "Okay, we got water, but we don't have any bread. We don't have any meat." And the Lord makes a point there that even though the people are grumbling against Moses and Aaron, they're really grumbling against God. So what does God do? You would expect he would, you know, destroy them. No, he sends them manna and he sends them quail, both bread and meat. And we're told that the manna stays the whole time for 40 years till they come to the land of Canaan, and then it stops because they're going into a land filled. And it's at that point that this chapter 17, only the first seven verses, comes about, which is referred to as water from the rock. So what happens? Well, they camp where the Lord tells them, but there's no water for the people to drink. Once more, they start quarreling with Moses. "Give us water to drink." And Moses tells them properly, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" Now, that's something that the Sunday school teachers really need to get across to the students, that every time we grumble against our situation in life, we're really grumbling against the Lord, because there's nothing that happens in our life that God isn't watching over, taking care of us, working all things to our good, keeping his promises. So therefore, when we get upset with something, Paul says we should be content in all things. And the reason he was able to be content is he trusted the promises of the Lord, even when he had excruciating pain from being whipped, etc. So, Moses says, "Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted for water. And in fact, they say something they had just said a chapter or two before. Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us, our children, and our livestock with thirst? So Moses prays to the Lord, what am I going to do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me. Now, once more, any other religion, the God of those religions would have really punished these people. What does the Lord say to Moses? Pass on before the people and take some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile. Remember, the Lord told Moses to put the staff over the Nile and it split so they were able to walk through unencumbered on ground that wasn't even wet. Behold, the Lord's talking. I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink. And yes, I remember pictures too where there was a little stream of water coming out of the rock, but there were a million people that were fed by this rock, at least with their thirst assuaged. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of that place Massah, and that Hebrew word means the testing that God was doing to the people. And he also called it Meribah, which means the quarreling and grumbling on the part of the people. And in fact, he even explains that in that verse 7. Called that because of the quarreling of the people of Israel and because they tested the Lord by saying, is the Lord among us or not? Now, that's a tremendous question that the Sunday school teachers should be talking to the students about. In fact, they have a number of exercises in the Enduring Faith that are very helpful. One of them I thought that would be good was for people to put down occasions when they thought the Lord was not with them anymore. And you'll find that that even is happening among Lutheran adults because of things that happened to them. And they're wondering, where is the Lord? And that's really important because what the CPH material does, and I think this is an excellent point, they make a distinction between what I want to satisfy myself versus what I need. And they make a point a number of times that there's nowhere in the Bible that even if we pray fervently, we will get what we want. But we will get what God believes we need. And of course, this is the tie-in to Jesus Christ, because in Jesus Christ, we've got the biggest need that we have, and that's the forgiveness of our sins. But there's a little bit more to say about this, particularly when the New Testament is talking about the rock.
So let's go there to that New Testament reference. Paul will talk about the people's wilderness wanderings, and then he'll say that this rock was Christ. How are we supposed to take that?
Yes, this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and he begins in verse 1. I don't want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud. Now, that meant the Lord was coming through the cloud during the daytime and the pillar of fire at night to lead them, and all passed through the sea, that's the Red Sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food. That was the manna, the quail, etc. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. And then he says, this is the next verse, verse 4, and the rock was Christ. Now, there were some Jewish rabbis who believed that there was an actual rock that followed them throughout the wilderness. But there's a word called metonymy, and it's kind of used in the Lord's Supper when we say, drink this cup. We don't really mean that anybody's drinking a cup, but the liquid within it. And I kind of lean towards this more so, that it is the water that comes from the cup that really is referring to Jesus in supplying them their need. In fact, if you go back to the Exodus passage, they're wondering, is the Lord among us or not? And what does God tell them? I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb. So Jesus, who we believe is talking to Moses as he did with the burning bush, is going to be standing on the rock from which comes forth the water. And it was a common practice, as it is today, that when folks run into an area where there is water in the desert, they obviously and many times gather it up into vessels and take it with them. In other words, there was so much water from the rock that it assuaged their thirst for a long time. And every time they drank water in that wilderness for 40 years, they were really drinking from the spiritual rock. That's the phraseology Paul uses in verse 4. And who is that spiritual rock? It's Jesus. So the rock isn't a real rock that followed them, but it is the water from Jesus. And we look at it in the same way when we talk about baptism. That was well spoken of today by President Harrison at the funeral of Paul McCain. He must have mentioned baptism 4 or 5 times in his sermon, reminding all of us that in baptism, the spiritual rock comes to us, and it is through the waters of baptism. First of all, he comes to us through the baptism of repentance with John the Baptist, and then in the sacrament of baptism. And if you read Romans 6, what's happening in baptism is that we are being crucified with the Lord, we're being buried with the Lord, and therefore we also will rise with the Lord as he did on that resurrection day, which was a very comforting thought that was heard during the sermon.
So just make that connection with baptism one more time for us. Is this something we can teach the children with reference to their baptisms?
Yes. The biggest question is, am I going to heaven? And the biggest problem is, boy, I sin each and every day. The older you get, the more you realize you sin not only by deed, but by thought, by word, and you get worried about it. Well, what happens is the benefit of baptism is to transfer the wonderful gifts that Jesus won for us on the cross. In fact, they're referred to in the Old Testament reading for this Sunday as a reward that Jesus has for us. And that reward is twofold: the forgiveness of sins for sins we commit, and the robe of righteousness for good works that we're unable to do. So that from God's point of view, with both our committed sins forgiven and our works that we're unable to do taken care of, God regards us as righteous because we're wearing the righteous robe of Jesus Christ, which is guaranteed in the process of baptism. So God takes water, and in a sense, as you are baptized, you are joined with Christ. And now Christ follows you as a rock throughout your entire life. So that the first hymn we sung at the funeral today was "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And clearly there it's taught nothing can harm us, not even the devil. One word, the deed of the devil is done. And so therefore, it was a wonderful comforting message, not only to the family of Paul McCain, but to everyone, to be reminded of the importance of baptism as Jesus uses water to bring himself to us as our rock and continues to follow us throughout our life.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to the Civil Air Patrol, formed on December 1st, 1936. This volunteer corps aids the U.S. Air Force in the defense of our nation. Several LCMS pastors serve as chaplains in the Civil Air Patrol. LCMS Ministry of the Armed Forces supports almost 200 chaplains who represent the church on active duty, the reserves, the National Guard, and Civil Air Patrol. Find out more about their efforts at lcms.org/armedforces. LCMS.org/armedforces, serving those who serve, LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. We'll take up the Advent hymn, "Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending," with Pastor Will Wheaton of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, next.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at OutdoorNativityStore.com. Durable, affordable, and American-made nativities, OutdoorNativityStore.com. OutdoorNativityStore.com.
It's almost that special time to unpack your Advent and Christmas ornaments. But there's a problem. Your ornaments are from the 80s. They're made of styrofoam, the glitter has dropped off, and they are being held together with toothpicks. Don't celebrate another Christmas hearkening back to the age of glitter balls. Ad Crucem's ornaments are beautifully designed and lovingly made. Right here in Colorado, we offer all the old designs and a whole lot of new ones. Visit adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.